Okay, Kuf Tzadi Hei. On page Kuf Tzadi Hei, Halacha Reish Yutes, we're going to do something we normally do not do. We're going to read over here the commentary on the bottom. The Bris Olam. Okay, the Bris Olam. The Ilu Achalta Havina Kataloch, Omalei O Yehudi O Armoi. Kach Tzorch Loimai. Now he's quoting over here, we'll become clear as we go through it, what this means. V'chein hu b'Yushalmi. Okay. Uperushoi Poshut. He's going to explain what we read yesterday in the text. And here he explains what happened. He explains everything. The Omalei Hagoy. The non-Jew says, Miho Dialcha She'ilu Ochalta Hayisi Hoyrekha. Who informed you that if you will eat, I will kill you? Should Sorokol Echo Lishmar Dato O Yehudi Oigoy. Now he quotes those words, now he explains it. Uperu Sharav Hamafarish. The parish of the Rav Hamafaresh is not clear mitzaratzmo. Let's read another line. I'm not being clear. I don't know what this means. Let's read another line. Okay, let's go read another line. Umash hikshe mizel ledas harambam de'ene reshay lahachmir al'atzmai ayin sham hein emes dimidivei rabbeinu Hochi nira dirashai lahachmir al'atzmai shehevia yushalmi hamoz shehevri divi rabbi abba bar zamna. The chain jumped down the line of chain dasa toisis for harash. Vevi raim yushalmi ze. Omnam divreim koshim. The hare kamar hayushalmi sham achar ze. After this statement, the reading words here are not explaining anything. Let's just get familiar with the topic. Omar Rebbe Mana, Ilu Hoya Rebbe Abba Bar Zimna Shama Milhoin Drabonon Mechel Hava. If he would have heard these words, he would have eaten. Vari Mavur Rebbe Abba Moser Atzmo Mishum Delo Yoda Drabonon Amri Diavor Vi Al Yaharo, you should die. Chutz Meavodazora. Giliarayos Ushvichas Damim. The Ilu Yoda, had he known the halacha, have a mechel shmamino, the Enoi Rashai Lahachmir al Atzmo, you're not allowed to be Machmir al Atzmo. The Ilu Rashai, if you were allowed to be Machmir al Atzmo, Minole Rabbi Mona, the Lo Yoda Dilma Machmir al Atzmo Hoya. Maybe he was Machmir on himself. So, okay, I do not know. What all of this means, but let us just try to gain a little flavor of what is going on. What appears to be the controversy is, if a person is not obligated to give up his life, is he allowed to be machmir and give up his life? Let's review. If we have a situation of avodah zara, gili arayos, shvichas damim, a non-Jew says to a Jew, I demand that you commit one of these averos. And if you do not do it, what I tell you to do, I will kill you, I will take your life. There is nothing to discuss. A Jew has an obligation to give up his life, for avodah zarah, gilui, not to violate one of the big three. But that's not our discussion. Our discussion is where a non-Jew says to a Jew, I want you to eat non-kosher meats. And let's assume now, if I'm not mistaken, we're not discussing Sha'as Hashmar. We discussed this yesterday a little bit, but let's just try to assume now that I just get a thrill of watching people eat non-kosher meat. It's nothing to do with religion. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. That's part of the question over here, what exactly is going on over here. I want you to eat non-kosher meat. Remember, if a guy tells a Jew, I want you to change the color of your shoelaces. Yeah. It appears that in ancient times, Jews, goyim wore red. I read this yesterday. Goyim wore red shoelaces and Jews wore black shoelaces. And if the guy says to the Jew, I want you to change the color of your shoelace from black to red, and doing this will be a way of acknowledging that you are giving up your religion, then a Jew has an obligation to give up his life. That's called Sha'as Hashmad. Not necessarily Avodah Zarah Gilei Shvichas. Even a small custom that is done by a Jew, a small custom that's done by Jews, if this custom captures the flavor of Yadus, and by giving it up, you are conceding, you're giving in to the Goyim, it is forbidden for a Jew to be Meiser Nefesh, to give in to a non-Jew in this matter. Let us say now that's not the case. That's not the case. The case here is going where the non-Jew just says to the Jew, I get a thrill of watching people eat non-kosher meat. The Jew says, listen, I'm a Jew, and Jews do not eat non-kosher meat. The guy says, there's nothing to do with religion. I'm not here to go and uproot your religion. That's not the issue here. The issue over here is, I need you to eat this non-kosher meat. Forget about religion. That's not my agenda today. The halacha is, a Jew is permitted to eat the non-kosher meat. It's not one of the Gimel Averos Chamuros. And the guy is not demanding that it be done because he wants the Jew to give in to another religion. So the Jew is permitted, according to halacha, to eat the non-kosher meat. However, the Jew says, listen, I want to use this as an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. I want to educate you and tell you, you have to understand something. I'm a Jew. To you, it doesn't matter. That's not your agenda. But to me, it does. And I want to let you know that, to me, eating kosher meat is something which is not accepted. And I'm not going to eat it no matter what, even if you will take my life.
So he's
being machmer on himself. Are you allowed to do that? Is a Jew allowed to be machmer on himself and violate the halacha, a halacha that's not one of the Gimel Averos Chamuros, but... And also, he's not being told to do it as a way of giving up his religion. The guy says, I need this done, do it. The Jew says, I'm not doing it. The guy says, this is not about religion. Don't get me wrong. I just need it done. The Jew says, well, to me it is religion. It is a religious thing to me. And therefore, my religion does not allow me to do this. I'm not going to do it. And he does it. Is he guilty of murder, of his own murder? In Shemayim, will they have a complaint against him that you are guilty for taking your own life? So this appears to be a machloikis. Now the details, I don't know. I don't know. The Yerushalmi is very hard. I'm not too well versed in anything, certainly not in the Yerushalmi. But it appears from the Yerushalmi, there's a give and take. And there's machloikis between the Rambam. And the Rambam seems to say you're not allowed to give up your life. You're not allowed to. In this situation, you're not allowed to. And here in the Sefer Hasidim, he concludes the last line that we learned yesterday, the last four lines on this page Kuf Tzadi Hei, the Nochrim, Shadoicha Kimesa Yehudim, Lechol Nevela, Imroitze Lehore, Kadei Shalol Yoichal, Yuchal Asois. The Sefer Hasidim cites the source Toysis, the Harosh, and Avodah Zarah. Yeah. You can do it. You can do it. If you want to do it, are you obligated to do it? Definitely not. You have no obligation whatsoever. But if you want to do it, do it. And will you be rewarded in the next world for Kiddush Hashem? Yes, you will. That's the sheet of Tosfos and the Rosh. It appears that the Rambam strongly disagrees. The Rambam says in the next world, this person is going to be held accountable for murder of himself, of his own life. And on the bottom over here, he's telling us that in the Yerushalmi itself, this whole story that we have over here, which I'm not really clear what all the details of the story, this is not the end of the story. The Gemara there says that the person went, he wanted to do it, he wanted to be machmer upon himself, and then the Gemara goes on to say that had he known the correct halacha, he would not have been machmer on himself. So it seems in here that the Rambam is correct. Not like the sheet of Tosfos and the Rosh. Ukvar Kosav, now a little bit more than halfway down on the column on the right side, on page Kuf Tzadi Hei, Ukvar Kosav Harav Hatrumos, Ve'viu Maran Zal, I'm not sure what Maran Zal here means, B'chlolei HaGemara, Tehalach Rav Moneh, B'rov ha-Yushalmi, in the Yushalmi, we always pass like Rav Moneh, who said not to do it. V'imkein adaraba, mikan siyata laharambam, deloy kiharav ha-Mefarish, not like, I think when he says the Rav ha-Mefarish, he means the Sefer Chassidim, Rav Yudah ha-Chassid. So, Rav Moneh is the one who indicates in the Yushalmi it should not be done. And he tells us a rule that in the Yerushalmi, we generally paskin, we decide the halach like Rav Moneh. And therefore, in the Rambam, paskins like Rav Moneh. And therefore, how could the Sefer Chassidim make such a statement that indicates not like the Yerushalmi when it's not correct? Now, we have to also remember that Sefer Chassidim L'Choyre came before the Rambam. The Sefer Chassidim was died, it would appear, before the Rambam, if not mistaken. So they were, no, they don't know from each other. V'reisi l'harav yofe mare mare sheperish b'tchila. I saw from Rav Yofe, I don't know if the word mare, that was his name, or mare means I saw, it's a nice word for an interpretation. A mare, I saw a commentary from Rav Yofe, sheperish b'tchila shabi abba machmer hoya the achar kosav dehu pluksa. That what he did in this story to be machmir really is subject to a disagreement. Uktsas kosha is a little bit difficult. The ein ze pshat hayushalmi. Umasha omar be. I don't know what this stands for. The b'yafei mara. The b'yafei mara. Dufus Amsterdam. B'chidushim mi maha ra. I don't know who this is. V'choftes. That when it comes to eating, he wants to make a differentiation. That if we're not dealing with the Gimel Averos Chamuros, then we're dealing with other Averos. So what are they? There are Averos of eating food, and let's say there's an Avera of Shatnez. The guy says to a Jew, if you do not put on Shatnez, I will kill you. And this has nothing to do with religion. That situation is not equivalent to a guy demanding of a Jew to eat non-kosher food. The rules by shatnez are you mechuyev to put on the shatnez. Wear the shatnez. Don't give up your life for it. Food, that's different. Because food is something that you take into your body. Timtum halev. It goes into your bloodstream. It affects your neshama. So we're differentiating, we're putting things now at this point in time into four categories. There are the Gimel Averois Chamurois, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim. And then there is the category of eating. And then there's the category of things not eating, which wearing shatnez, let's say violating Shabbos, or whatever, you have to go through a whole Tayag Mitzvah. So whatever, all the Mitzvahs, doing Averos, positive, negative Averos, because those things, they're external. There he's suggesting, there you're not allowed to be Machmir, and that is what the Rambam is discussing. Whereas here, Tosfos, and the Rosh, when they say that you have permission to be Machmir, that's only in regard to food, because food is more significant than that. It enters into your blood and it affects your neshama, what we call timtum halev. Different category. Lesser.
What's the difference in terms of punishment? Wearing shatnez or eating, pray for me.
Only Hashem knows. Only Hashem knows that answer. What's the difference? But there is such a principle, you find in Chazal, that eating arayos, being nichshol in gili arayos, and that's our rice anyway. And eating seems to be in a category by itself, because when you eat chazer, non-kosher food, it goes into your blood. And ki adam hu ha-nefesh. Somehow the neshama of a person is connected to your blood. And if your blood is flowing with chazer, a derivative of chazer, it's not good for the neshama. It's just not good. That's how it is. And he wants to make that differentiation between other aveiros, like shatnez, where it's not going into your blood, versus achila, which is more severe. Let's go further. He says lesa. The one who is the mefarish here, the Bris Olam, says this distinction is incorrect. There's no such distinction. The ein tzach laharich, I'm not going to elaborate. To say that there's a difference between food and shatnez, I never heard of. It's not found anywhere in Chazal. Do not invent new laws that do not appear. According to the Gemara, the maskana is you're not allowed to be machmir. That is the conclusion of the Gemara. So this story here that is presented by the Sefer Hasidim is only the first part of the story. In this story, whatever the details are, it appears that a person was permitted on his own to be machmir and give up his life, not to do an avera that's outside of the Gimel Averos Chamuros. But then the Gemara goes on to say, had he known the halacha, he would not have been machmir. He was ignorant of the halacha. So that's the Gemara's conclusion. Don't come along now and differentiate between food and other types of thing, averos. It's not true. Shuvri yisi, beperish, beperish, ze, boirer, beperish, carbon, hoeda, upenemen, moshe, those are the perushim of the Yerushalmi, shetamu, alatoises, v'harash, they challenged those from the Farshim on the Yerushalmi. How can the Tosfos and the Rosh say that it's permitted to do so to be machmir when the Gemara concludes l'maskara that it's forbidden to do so? And there the commentators do not mention any distinction between food and shatnez. Gam asha amar b'sef haloshin v'oid d'milhoin d'rabonon ka'amar lo'y nihira kash yir ha'ma'ayin. And if you go further, you'll see the other words, whatever that is, that there's other comment, perish, which also is not discussed. Okay, I think we did enough of this, so we're gonna leave it. We're gonna leave it with that. We take away from this to review and go now into the next halacha.
Be aware of the halacha in a situation. You can't call up your rabbi in the middle of the situation.
So that's why you come to the morning kolo. You prepare yourself for all. So now you know it. Now you're prepared. For every scenario, you got to live and learn. Okay, there's value in knowledge. Okay, that's
only in a private situation, or public would be different.
Okay, so I think also part of the Mefarshim over here that discussed this that topic as well. Okay, I'm guilty. I did not prepare the Yerushalmi. I should have done my homework and looked at the Yerushalmi and studied the Mefarshim and come here prepared until true. I got lazy. I didn't do my homework. But this topic is a very big topic of discussion of what are the gedarim of Kiddush Hashem. We once spent a lot of time on this in the Shir. We once spoke about this, like Tisha B'Av time, about Kiddush Hashem. What exactly are the gedarim of Kiddush Hashem? Is Kiddush Hashem only the Gimel Averos Chamuros, or does it include other things? That's one question. Question number two, is the Kiddush Hashem where the romantic form, where the whole world is watching. You're a Jew, we're killing you because you're a Jew. And the story with the Vilna Gaon, he came and he snuck out to watch the Ger Tzedek make a bracha. Yes, what bracha does a person make when he dies al Kiddush Hashem? Do you make the bracha, Mekadesh Eshimcha Barabim, that we make every day, davening? You say Kurbanos after you finish the Akedah, and you say, before you say the Kriya Shema, you make a bracha, HaMekadesh Eshimcha Barabim. A person, Rachmanu Litzlan, is in the matzah where he has to dal Kiddush Hashem. Does he make that bracha? Or maybe you make a bracha, Asher Kiddushon, B'mitzvah Yisrael al Kiddush Hashem. Or maybe you make the bracha, Shehakol Nihiyah Bidvaroi. What's your last wish? There are people like this. They ask the person, we're going to kill you. Will you laugh? You're going to die now al Kiddush Hashem. What's your final wish? And they would say, bring me a glass of water. And they brought him a glass of water. He said, I'm thirsty. I haven't had anything to drink in a long time. I want a glass of water. That's what you want? Yeah, because I want to make a bracha. What bracha? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam shehakol. Everything nihiye came into this world bidvaro through your command. It is your devar, your wish, that this situation has played out in such a manner that I'm now going to dial Kiddush Hashem to make a Baracha Shahako. I was once in the hospital and there was a person there taking treatment and they were about to give him treatment. And before they gave him treatment, they said to him, you have to first drink a lot. Yeah, they gave him out bottles of water, and before they gave him, so he said to me, I'm now going to drink, because the doctor, I have to drink, and I'm thirsty, so I can make a bracha. It's not just that I'm going to drink, because if you're not thirsty, you can make a bracha. But my kavana, when I make the bracha, is that this horrible matzah that I'm in, that I have to undergo this treatment, and they put these chemicals into my body that are going to totally destroy me, I'm a kabbalist. I'm a kabbalist from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I'm making a bracha on it. And the bracha shahakol is on the treatment. And he took a glass of water and he made a shahakol nihiyeh bidvaroi. It was Hashem's will that I should have to suffer. And I'm a kabbalist. I'm a kabbal ba'ahava. It haunts me ad hayom hazeh when I think about it. Okay, that's like, you don't have to go back to Auschwitz and to hear about people who died, these heroic, they died al Kiddush Hashem. People a few blocks from here, in the hospital, Rachmana Litzlan, who suffer incredible yisurim, tzaddikim, and they're able to makabel yisurim, and they make a bracha. It's a shocking thing. So Kiddush Hashem is a big topic of discussion. Is it only the Gimel Averos Chamuros? Is it only when someone forces you to die? What about you have a nisoyon? You're in a basement. There's no one watching, and you have a yetzahara to an avera, and you restrain yourself. Isn't that this? Is that called a Kiddush Hashem? Even though no one was forcing you to do an Aveira, it's also a Kiddush Hashem. When we talk about the glorious Kiddush Hashem, what bracha do you make? Do you make a bracha? Who says they're going to kill you? Someone, you can't make a bracha on Kiddush Hashem. If a guy puts a weapon, a gun to your head and says, if you do not do this, I'm going to kill you, so should you make a bracha? It might be a bracha levatala. Who says he's going to kill me? He puts the gun to my head, he may change his mind the very last moment. It's not in my power to die. It's in his power. He may change his mind the very last moment. Who says you're even allowed to make a bracha al Kiddush Hashem? And then the question is, if the guy is telling you not because he wants you to do an Aveira, it's because he has an ulterior motive, and you happen to know that this is forbidden according to Halacha, and the guy doesn't even understand, couldn't care less, and you try to explain to them, I'm a Jew, and Jews don't eat non-kosher. Jews don't do these type of things. I'm willing to give my life. And he looks at you like you're crazy. Is that called the Kiddush Hashem? He thinks he never saw a Jew his whole life. Go to China. There are people there, they never saw, they don't even know what a Jew is. And they'll go and they'll force you to do something. You tell them, I can't, I'm Jewish. What? What does that mean you're a Jew? Well, you're Jewish. Don't confuse me with the facts. I'm not interested in hearing anything now. I got a job here. I have a boss. I got to get this done. Do it or not. You don't want to do it. You're crazy. So you're crazy. You're a mental case. I'll kill you. Is it even in the category of Kiddush Hashem? Are you mechuyev in that case? Give up your life. These are all very complicated questions. And the truth is, there are no answers. You're going to find many Rishonim who disagree. And then there are the Achronim who try to split hairs and to differentiate between this case and that case. We got a little teeny, teeny, teeny little sample of the complexity of this topic here in the story with the Sefer Hasidim, which was a private story, was not in public, and it was regarding food, it was not regarding the Gimel Averos Chamuros, and the topic of discussion is food in a different category than other types of Averos, which do not enter your bloodstream.
But that's only according to this one sheet of your kapanah.
Right, exactly. As I told you, this is all just a teeny little taste. I don't know more than that. Let's now move on to a new halacha. So what is the L'chil Hashem? Same thing. So the L'chil Hashem is L'chil Hashem. Yeah, it's all part of the parallel. What is the L'chil Hashem? Is the L'chil Hashem when you fail? L'chil Hashem is basically the converse of the Kiddush Hashem. When a person fails in this matter, he has committed a chilul Hashem. That term is a very severe term because Chazal said there's no kapara. There's certain averos you get kapara. If you put your hand into your pocket and you take out a nickel instead of a quarter, That's a kapara for an aver. If, because really, it should be that if you want a quarter should come out. Hashem should give you that shmaya, that a quarter comes out, not a nickel. So that's a kapara. And then there is when a person's not feeling well, he's in pain, he pricks himself. And there's short-term pain, long-term pain, and there is death. Okay, that's kapara. And then there is gehenna, that's kapara. And then there is the Yom Hadin. So Chil Hashem, Yom Kippur is an opportunity for kapara. Rosh Chodesh is an opportunity for kapara. Chil Hashem needs everything. It's not enough putting it into the pocket. Yisurim is not enough. Rosh Chodesh is not enough. Shmoneh Esrei every single day. Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanu is not enough. All of these things are not enough. What's enough? We don't even know what's enough. Chazal say the term Chil Hashem is a very frightening term. The neshama needs an extreme dosage of kapara to achieve atonement. For Chil Hashem. So it's very important to define what is Chil Hashem. If a person is all alone in a room and he does an Avera because he was not able to overcome his Yetzahara, it would be a very great advantage to us that it should not be called in halacha, in the world of halacha, Chilul Hashem, because then we would be able to do teshuva in this world relatively easily to achieve atonement for that type of avera. But if you're going to say that a person is all alone and does an avera, it's called a Chilul Hashem in the eyes of halacha, then that means that the teshuva, the atonement for that degree of avera, requires a very heavy dosage of atonement, which is not even possible in this world. It requires severe, severe things in the next world. So you're right, it's very important to know what exactly is Kiddush Hashem versus Chilul Hashem.
But there's a difference here. Over here, we're talking not necessarily in public, right? So for Kiddush Hashem...
That's the question. That is the question. I don't know the answers, and there's no consensus on these matters. We haven't spent a lot of time on this. There is no consensus on any of these matters. All of these things are very, very vague. They're all based on the Yukim, the Rambam, Rishonim, stories in the Gemara. We have here the Sefer Chassidim. We see over here a whole long discussion that being challenged, what Tosfos says, what the Rosh says, the Yifei Naim, the Karban Eda, the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi. And over here, the commentary on the bottom, the Bris Olam, he just brushes everything away on his own. He's not satisfied. I don't know. I really don't know. I didn't prepare the depth of this matter. But one thing is certain, that there is no consensus, and it's not nogia halacha lemaisa. You don't need to know. You know, when it's not a question of person comes to the rabbi, am I allowed to eat this or not? I have in my hand a package of food. I bought this in the supermarket. Is it osur or is it mutter? You need an answer. I need an answer now. Then you'll get an answer. But this is something which it's not, you don't need an answer. You don't, you're not going to get an answer because there's nothing different. Whatever the answer is, you anyway have to do teshuvah. And what you can do, do. What you can't do, you anyway can't do. So just continue your life and do the best that you can. Let's go further. I want to go further. Reishchav, next page. Page Kuf, Tzadivav. Reishchav, Echad, Sipir, Lechaveroi. Ani, Cholachti, Ben Agoyim, Bevigdei, Hakakoy, Haneihem. Kidei, Sheyehei, Doim, Elohem, Velo, Yazikuhu. One person said to his friend, I got dressed up like the Pope. I went to Vatican City. They have special stores there in Vatican City to buy the clothing of a priest, a bishop. Who makes, by the way, who makes those clothing? The Jews. It's a good business.
No
what?
No
Shanis. Yeah, Shanis. There's a Shanis label on the Pope's clothing. Okay, the bishop, the cardinal, all they have a gans, all the clothing. The bishop, the cardinals, all the galachim, the nuns. There's a whole store just for the galachim. I went and got dressed up in their clothing, I should look like one of them. Velo yaziku, they should not kill me. The echad sibul amarati sifrei gilu lehem. I learned, I went to their schools and I got a PhD in Christianity. I know everything there is to know about Avodah Zarah. I know how to sing all of their hymns. Why? Because if I don't do this, I'm going to die. If I don't sing the national anthem, if I don't sing their song, my lips are not moving. When they come in, when they come to get me, they're going to right away suspect I'm not a non-believer. In order to stay alive, Amar Hechacham, Aleichem Nemar, upon you it is said, Chukim Lo Toivim U'Mishpatim Lo Yichyu Bohem. In this case, you're supposed to die. It's one thing to disguise yourself as a goy. It's another thing to disguise yourself as a priest, or to sing the songs that the priest sung. There are different levels of how far you're allowed to go to disguise yourself to save your life. In the Holocaust, we learned before on the previous page, people got dressed up like a goyim. They got dressed up like goyim. But are you allowed to go so far to get dressed up like a priest? That's a very big, tough question. The Sefer Chassidim takes a very hard line, and he says no. He cites the pasuk, Chukim lo toivim u'mishpatim lo yichyu bohem. Shaharei Rabbi Eliezer Omar, Nemon Olai Hadayon, Vinitztaer Sha'al Kein Nitzol. Now, what does it mean, Nemon Olai Hadayon? Over here on the parish in the Sadi, he explains Rabbi Eliezer Al Aviv Sheba Shemaim Omar. He said upon the Ribbon Shalom, Vinitztaer Al Shenitzal, Mibnesha Sovar Hegman Olav Hoya Oimer, Kimasha Kosav Shal Yatzel Asim Dover Shanir Lein Kol Koyach Oisa Dover Shu Akum. The story there was where Rabbi Eliezer did something which allowed, which the reason why it was a dangerous time, and the reason why he escaped was because the Goyim thought that he was non-Jewish. And he had very great tsar, very great pain that he was alive. He felt that what he did was Shaloi Kedin. In other words, he took a shavua. He said something, and he said the words Neman Olai Hadayon. The Hegmon, the Caesar, thought that the word Dayan was referring to him or to some secular authority, which was the Chil Hashem. The truth was, when Rabbi Eliezer said these words, he was thinking about Hashem, that Hashem is my witness. So if he would have said Hashem, Yudke Vavke, the Hegemon would have taken out his sword and chopped off his head. How dare you show your religion in my presence? He would have killed him. So he said something which was vague, which allowed the Hegemon to think that he was referring to him, whereas in truth he was referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rabbi Eliezer felt, when he reflected upon what he did, he felt that it was Shelo Kedin. It was not proper what he did, and therefore he had very great tsar. He was in mourning, and the Talmidim had to come and give him comfort. Even though his kavana of the Dayan, he meant the ultimate judge, Hashem. The Hegemon, the Caesar, thought that he was referring to him. Different interpretation. He did not know why, what avera he did, that he now was subject to this tsar. According to that interpretation, the reason why he was an avelus was because he was not able to attribute why he suffered. You get a parking ticket. So that means you have to make a cheshbon hanefesh. Why did I get a parking ticket? What avera did I do in my life that I deserve to get a parking ticket?
Because you parked illegally.
Very good. Very good. You parked illegally. So you make a cheshbon. Why did this happen to me? that I made a mistake to park illegally. And he went, he reviewed his entire, a 90-year-old man, he went through his entire life, from the moment he was born until this moment, to try to figure out what avera he did that this happened to him. And he couldn't figure it out. And he has such tsar that he could not figure out what he did. He sat shiva for himself. And the Talmidim had to come be mevatel from the learning to be Menachem Oval to cheer him up. Because of the tsar, he was not able to pinpoint why, what avera he did. Now, if that is the correct interpretation of the Gemara, it is totally irrelevant to our discussion here. That's why he says that it's not the pshat we're working with. We look what it says there in according to Yehuda HaChassid, he learns the pshat in the Gemara there is, the reason why he was an avelus was because of the chilul Hashem. He went and he took an oath to the Hegmon, and the Hegmon thought that he was taking an oath to his authority. You're not allowed to take an oath in the life of someone else. A person is a piece of garbage. To go is like an avodah zarah. If you take an oath, I swear by your life, it's like saying you're a deity. It's a nabizrayu. It's an extension of idol worship. Now, for us, big deal, right? We don't look at it like that. But Rabbi Eliezer, who was a very, very holy person, he did not go for this. He felt that on his holy level, to say, to take an oath, to swear, or to make a statement in your honor was equivalent to idol worship. He was basically worshiping a human being. But if he would not say these words, they would kill him. So what did he do? He said, I swear by the Dayan. Who is the Dayan? He used a language which was purposely vague to mean, I swear by Hashem, who is the Dayan HaEmes, the ultimate judge. So I'm saying one thing. In my mind, it means this. In your mind, it's your mistake. You're a tippish. You think I'm referring to you. That's your problem, not my problem. So technically, did he do an avera? No. But it bothered him that it appeared that he misled. He was able to pull it off, and it appeared to an observer or to the Hegmon that he was swearing by someone's life. That, on his exalted level of spirituality, bothered him very, very much, that it was Zechil Hashem. From that, we can derive that if a person would openly say, I swear by your life, you indeed are an idol, and I swear by your life, that type of shvua is something which you have to give up your life for, is indeed an avera. What would be a practical example of the average person? So the Sefer Hasidim extrapolates and says, if you get dressed up in the clothing of a bishop or a cardinal or a nun or any of the above to disguise yourself to save your life, that already you've crossed the red line, and that you're mechuyev to give up your life for. Do we accept this lahalacha? Probably not, because in the Holocaust there were probably many people who did disguise themselves as priests and nuns and bishops, not just goyim, in order to survive. I know that my great grandfather, the Reish Rav of Aaron Levine, had a brother. His name was Yecheskel, and he died al kiddush Hashem. He was also a Rav. He was Rav of a more modern type of community, and he had a son, and his son's name? I already forgot all my whole family history, and he was a teenager when he saw his father, my great grandfather's brother, shot in front of his face. He was killed by Kiddush Hashem. He was a young boy, and the church where he lived in a small town. They saved him. They took him into the church. They hid him in the church, and they saved his life. And they helped him very, very much. And that war was over, he wasn't at all from. He grew up in very difficult times. He wasn't from. He went to Eretz Yisrael. He joined the Haganah, and he fought. He was like buddy-buddy with all of these big famous people, with Dayan, and all the people that you read about and you see on these old movies. He was buddy-buddy with these people. He fought in all of these wars in the establishment of the State of Israel. And then he came to America and became a professor. And his children now are Choyze B'Shuva. His children now, Chabad got a hold of them. I love Chabad. Chabad does what no one else would have done. And they got a hold of him, of the children. And now they're Choyze B'Shuva, this person's children. Rabbi Chizemus, so he died, their children, the grandfather, Rabbi Yecheskel Levin. Yecheskel Levin, he was killed by the Nazis. So what do I tell you all this for? Not that long ago, I shouldn't say that long ago, there's a whole book on this. A whole book on this. You see it online. They went to the church. The family went to the church. They went to the church and gave them very, very great honor. They participated in this very, very big ceremony, thanking them for saving his life. He died a long time ago, this person. But the family, the children, they were makir toif that they hid him in the church, and they took a very strong interest in guaranteeing his survival. Now, by the way, why did this? All the names. There's a whole big write up. There's a whole book on this. Why indeed did they do this? It's a very, very funny story. Because Rabbi Yecheskel Levin, he lived in the small community where he was the rabbi of a shul, and in that shul there was a very big church, and that church had the priest, whatever it was, and he it was his birthday, and the pope insulted him. He was a very famous priest, and they asked the pope to come to the birthday party, to travel or to send a letter, something. And the Pope was very nasty in his response. And there's a very big pegima in the kavod of this, whatever, this, I don't know, bishop, cardinal, whatever he was. So Yecheskel Levin went and was mechabed him and sort of like tried to pacify him and undo the insult and be mechabed him and somehow to mechazek him, to give him chizuk. Now, I don't know all the pratim, the halachas, exactly all the pratim, but he helped them a lot. He helped them with his balabatim. I think only rabbis have problem with balabatim. The galachim also have issues with the balabatim. So some Rabbi Yecheskel Levin, he went and he was mechazek. It was a small town. They worked together. They worked together on different issues. I don't know if they had dialogue, religious issues, but I guess on communal issues, they had different issues. They came together. Like you see today, the Aguda comes together. Certain things with the Christians, when it comes to education, they recently, with the whole fiasco of the funding for Jewish education, who's the biggest ally? The biggest ally is the church, because they're trying to take away the money from the church as well. They come together. They work together. They don't work together on theology, but they work together when it comes to money. Money brings everyone together. So I don't know, there was something along those lines. And because of what Rabbi Yecheskel Levin did for this galach, he was so makir toif to him that when the Nazis came to kill him, and they did kill him, he went out of his way to save his son. And if not for the galach, it would appear that he would have been killed. He would have been killed. And from that, he has enikloch today that are alive in New York here, who now choyzer b'shuva. So the whole story is an amazing story. But look, he was only saved in a church. He was saved in a church, and who knows what was going on over there in the church. So according to the Sefer Hasidim, I don't know all the details, but he's saying over here some very harsh words, is that to get dressed up like a non-Jew, put on a cap, you put on some jeans, put on some sneakers, whatever, you want to get dressed up and make believe you're a guy, no one will you take off your tzitzis, don't wear tzitzis. Okay, that's one thing, that you're allowed to do l'chatchila in order not to be harmed. But to go so far and to get dressed up and make believe you're a priest and to sing all their songs and to carry all of their instruments and make smoke and incense and do all these funny things, are you allowed to do all these things? You're not mamish worshipping of Avodah Zarah, but you are presenting yourself as a galach, as a religious leader. He says, he quotes the pasuk, this far you're not allowed to go. Is this universally accepted lahalacha? We always mentioned, and a lot of the halachas of the Sefer Hasidim, many times we don't pasuk like him. So it's not so clear how far we can go. This we will stop, we'll take a short break, and then we're going to talk about continuation from yesterday. I want to talk about a very interesting topic. Wearing gloves. All the different rules of wearing gloves. As an extension of what we did yesterday.
enjoy it.
Do you know the difference between a Bultfiller and a Chazen?
Yeah.
2 hours.
2 hours. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. I like